How's everybody doing? Good. And how's Caitlin doing? She's still doing well. Remember, we prayed for her last week, and we were able to go visit with her, and it seems like she was doing well, her and her mother, you know. So I think they're moving down, from what I understood. They in what, Montana, is it? Yeah. She said, oh, I'm the associate pastor in Montana at Assembly of God Church. She said, you looking for somebody to come? I said, come. I mean, we'll see. She said, we don't want the big city. We kind of want, I said, well, Gaydon would be good for you then. I'm trying to recruit. I don't know. Just come on down and live, you know. And they just moved out there. No family, zero. They just moved her family. I thought, wow, you know, that's interesting. So, but, you know, God is good, people, all the time. No matter what we go through, God is a good God, people, always, always. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Now, on a bar note, before we get into that, I know tomorrow is October 31st, which is what?
Halloween.
Parents, that is not a good holiday. I'm just letting you know it's not good. All you have to do is go back. You used to be able to say go back into the encyclopedias, but nobody has that anymore. Oh, y'all do. Who said that? Okay. Well, that's good. All you have to do is go back into there or go on your phone and look it up and just see what it is and how it started and what comes about. Really be very careful, especially now as you're seeing, and I know you see this on the news with all that fentanyl stuff going around, that they're putting in candy, that it's in Skittles boxes, it's in all kinds of candy boxes. People, be careful. Be careful. You might say, Pastor, what do y'all do? My kids never went trick-or-treat anywhere. They never did that. We never did that. What we try to do lately, for sure, is that we have a bonfire, and, you know, we roast hot dogs and s'mores and do all that stuff and just have fun at home. Fun at home. I know when I was young, look, that was the greatest time of our lives besides Christmas. You know, we weren't rich people, you know, and hey, if you can get free candy, you go, you went get it, you know. You know, free. And that means we didn't have money to go buy much, but, you know, God was good to us, though. And so, but be very careful and look at the spiritual aspect of it, okay? Look at the spiritual aspect of it. You know, I know as parents, you have authority over your children. As grandparents, that gets a little wider. And so, you can kind of say a little bit, but you have to respect the parents, how they want to do it. So, but I tell you what, just look it up, and it'll change your heart. It'll change your heart. What is in the midst of that? What is being celebrated, and what's being celebrated on that day? And it's not a God day. Not a God day. So be very careful, people, okay? Be very careful with that, all righty? You might say, well, Pastor, you know, whatever. If you have any more questions, come talk to me, and we'll look at things and stuff. You know, I want to make sure your kids are okay. I want to make sure. I want to make sure they not slip something that's not good. I just want to make sure, okay?
It doesn't have to be good kids.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Could be whatever. That's right. Got to be careful. So, amen. All righty, guys. Isaiah chapter 50. Amen. And look, thank you again. I'm stunned. You know, thank you again for giving like you do. Giving like you do. In blessing us. Blessing us. I appreciate that, Jelaine and I. And, you know, we know y'all love us. We know that. We know y'all care about us. We know y'all back us up and help us. We know that. But thank you for going over and above. And we certainly do appreciate it. And we will spend it all. That's what you gave it for. I said, you know what we could do? Let's just go all to Regatta and we'll spend it. Everybody come to lunch, you know. No, but we got to take. Yeah. Well, we will spend. Yeah. Can't touch it. Yeah. She'll spend it. Don't worry. But we do thank you for giving out of regular tithing offerings. That's offerings, and thank you. We thank you, and we pray the blessings of God upon your heart and upon your life. Well, amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. Look at page 1191. Look at verse 10. It says, "Who is among you who fears the Lord?" Let's just stop. It has a comma, so let's stop right there just for a minute. He's saying, Isaiah the prophet is writing this, and he's saying, "Who is among you? Who is among us who fears the Lord?" You see, and we're not talking about a fear that you can't go by God or anything, but a fear of reverence towards Him. Who fears Him? Man, look, this morning I was watching, you know, there's Christian television all over the place, and I was just going down and, you know, saying, oh, let me check this and that. And I turned to one, and I have to be honest, I was stunned. It looked like a rock concert. And I said, oh, my God. I mean, it just, and I'm not, you know, hey, look, whatever. But it did something in my spirit. It's like I said, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. I'm not saying their hearts weren't, I don't know. I don't know. But it just didn't look right. It didn't look right. We have to fear Him, fear His word. That means reverence Him and reverence His word. Look at the other parts of it. It says, who obeys the voice of His servant. Talk about the servant, which is Jesus. His, capital H. Who walks, talking to us, who walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. He's saying we're to fear Him. We're to obey the voice of His servant, which is Jesus. Then He gets to us and He says, hey, who walks in darkness? Oh, my Lord. We walk in darkness and has no light at times. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. You might say, well, when? I thought we were in the light. Yes, when we got saved, we came out of darkness into light. But sometimes in our walk with Him, we go through dark places. Huh? I mean severe dark places. Severe dark places. So He's speaking to us and saying, even when we go through the dark places of life, we are to trust Him. We are to look to Him. We are to let His light shine in our lives as best as we can. Because you see, in our Christian walk and with Him, we're going to go through some things. Some dark, dark valleys. Huh? Dark valleys where it seems like just on a spiritual sense, I'm not talking about maybe the physical eyes, but just on a spiritual sense, we can't see farther than what's right in front of us. Because it's so painful, so dark, so hurting in our hearts and in our lives. But God is saying in this verse, listen to the voice of the great servant, Jesus Christ. Trust Him. You see, we are to listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit no matter what. Because you see, a lot of times God will let us go because He is in control, huh? No matter what we go through as Christians, He is in control of our lives. No matter what dark places we go through, God is in control. We go through the dark valleys of life sometimes, but God is in control. And God will speak to us and show us what to do at the right time, at the right place. He's that kind of God that cares about His people, no matter what. No matter what. The dark places. A lot of times those dark places is where we learn how to forgive too. It's not easy sometimes. It's not easy. Especially on the severity of the hurt. Huh? You know, I was looking up about molestation. It's horrible, people. Horrible. 1 in 4 girls in America will be molested by the time they're teenagers. That's sad. 1 in 13 boys will be molested. It's a sad thing. It's sad. Because you see, the devil has devised a plan to destroy the boys and the girls so that they can't become what God would want them to be. And to bring hurt and pain upon them. And that's just one little, that's just one area. Probably out here, I don't know, but probably I can bet there have been some of you that have been molested by a man or a woman. Nowadays, it used to be just men, you know, now you don't know. And I tell you what, that could be a stumbling block. Even with Jesus in your heart, that could be a stumbling block for you in that wall that is set up constantly in front of you. But it might be a dark place. But I tell you what, God can change it. God can change it. He can bring that light into that place. And forgiveness could flow out of us. And we say, Lord, how can we forgive that situation? But you see, we have to remember, it's not us. We just say we forgive. And the Spirit of God works and moves in those areas of our hearts and our lives. Because you see, ultimately, God is trying to make us into human beings that serve Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That could be healed of those things, that it does not keep us from doing the will of the Father, the hurt that is there. And there's many other things, all kinds of stuff. But the Bible says we're to forgive, and we call upon the Lord to help us in those dark valleys to forgiveness. That doesn't mean you got to call him or her. That doesn't mean you got to do anything. That doesn't mean you have to mend the relationship. But that means us. In everything, we got to keep things right with him, no matter what, huh? And that's a job. That's work on our behalf. But I tell you what, the enemy will try to put roadblocks and stumbling blocks in front of us. But I tell you what, God the Holy Spirit will take those things out and heal the troubled heart. Heal the spirit that has been hurt. Heal the person on the inside of us that has yearned for to be helped and to bring healing to our hearts and to our lives. Because that's the kind of God he serves. We serve. That bought and paid for everything at the cross. Dark valleys. Look, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, page 135. Oh, Jesus, your healing power, Lord. Your healing power, Lord, be upon this place. Here we see the Israelites. They saw and they witnessed miracles in Egypt. They saw, they felt the oppression of the Egyptian government that had them make bricks out of zero things at one time. But they saw the great deliverance of what God can do. They saw how God could bring down a king and raise up people that were servants unto them. They saw how God could make them rich by what they gave them just to get them out of the land of Egypt. They saw the power of Almighty God. Excuse me, my throat sometimes. They saw the power of Almighty God expressed through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. They saw how God could bring low a mighty man and raise up a mighty man. called Moses. Here they see plagues come upon them. And at the end, when the first male born son of each family, if the death angel came and the blood representing the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus representing it, if they didn't have it on their door, that death angel would go in and kill. You see, there's a reason why God says obey his word. Because you see, when we obey his word, the presence of Almighty God is with us. When we obey his word, he keeps the enemy away. But we still know God is in control. My God, hallelujah. It says that they finally were released and they got to a place called the Red Sea. And we know this, but we need to be remembered of that word, that God chose Moses to be the leader, not the Israelites. God chose Moses. He did a great job. You might say, well, he messed up. Well, yeah, okay, who hasn't? But they got to a place because a cloud by night and a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day was leading Moses. And they went to a place called the Red Sea. And God told him what to do. He lifted up that spear, if you want to call it, and he pointed it, or rod, towards that Red Sea. He didn't know what was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, the hands of God came down and parted it. And millions of people walked over that Red Sea on dry ground. And as they crossed over, the armies of God were stopping the Egyptian army from coming and overtaking them. He was protecting them on the left, on the right, and in the back. That's what he does to us. He protects us as we obey his word. And they went over on the other side of that sea. And the Egyptian army said, well, we can get them now. They didn't know who they were messing with, people. Stay under the hand of God. Stay there. Stay humble before him. Let him move upon you. Let him speak to you. You might go through dark times, but I tell you what, through those dark times, we will know who God is. We will know when he speaks to us. We will know the power of Almighty God, because he wants to move upon this generation. Not just a little trickle here or there, but the Spirit of Almighty God being poured out continuously upon our lives. Man, he's the God that can save marriages. He's the God that can heal people. He's the God that can give direction. He's the God that can bring people out of debt. He's the God that can bless people and give them more money than what they know what to do with it. That's the kind of God we serve. But we don't serve him because of that. We serve him because we love him. And he has placed us out of hell into heaven because of what Jesus did for us. When they got to the other side and everybody was safe, God allowed that Egyptian army to go over that onto that Red Sea. And man, they thought, we got them. Then all of a sudden, the hands of God lifted up. And that water came in and devoured and killed every one of them. That's the power of Almighty God. They got to the other shore. It says Miriam and the ladies got their tambourines and they started singing songs. Babe. See, you go from the dark valleys to the high tops of the mountains. And they worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They thanked him for his mighty power. They thanked him for who he was and who he is. I want to start reading on page 135 in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. It says this. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And it says, Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Verse 26, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commands, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Here we see in Exodus, 72 hours before, they were praising God and honoring him. 72 hours before, they were thanking God for letting them cross over the Red Sea. And now they start to journey in the land of Shur. Now, who is leading them? The fire by night, huh? And the cloud by day, with Moses as their leader. 72 hours later, they had no water, unless they brought a little bit, but they could find no water. And they finally find water. Now, they're led by the Spirit of God right to this place, a memory. And when they get there, they find, they don't say exactly how they find out, but I'm sure somebody had to taste it or something, that it was bitter. Here they were thirsty. Their animals were thirsty. The husbands were thirsty. The children were thirsty. Everybody was thirsty, you know. Just think of our hot days here during the summer. I mean, look, all you do is sweat, you know, outside and drink a lot of water, Gatorade, all kinds of stuff, just to kind of get that fluid inside of you. They had no water, basically. And when they get to what they think is, oh, my God, look at this, they find it's not good. Then what they start to do is murmur and complain to Moses. Moses saying, okay, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? The most fantastic thing that Moses could do is found in that verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. He found a place, I would think, by himself to get away from the murmuring, complaining, because they didn't have what they needed. And they needed water. That was a need. You know, they couldn't have gone any much longer. They would have all died, and their animals, and their children, and the mothers and the fathers. But Moses did something great, people. He went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what do we do? He cried unto him. You know, that means he spoke unto him. He went to him. He found a place that he can call upon the Lord and saying, Lord, show me. Tell me what to do. Is there another place that we can go to? Moses didn't know. See, we don't know in our journey with the Lord when something comes up how he's going to answer that. Huh? We don't tell God what to do. We serve the Almighty God. And he expresses through his word and through prayer and through him speaking to us what he wants us to do. He didn't know what would happen. But I tell you what, when you have millions of people that are in need of something, you get on your knees before God and you call out to him saying, Lord, show me, show me, show me. God says, call upon me and I will answer thee. It's a great reward unto us. His ears are open to our prayers. His ears are open to the things that weigh us down, the things that we go through. That's the kind of God we serve. The bitterness of our soul sometime. And he calls out to God, and God gives him an answer. I don't know. It says that God showed him a tree. I don't know if Moses was out there walking around praying, saying, Lord, show me, show me, show me. And he walks by this tree, and the Spirit of God leaps in him and says, cut it down, cut it down, cut it down, and let it fall into the water. And he may have thought for a little while, like, Lord, let me sit down, make sure you're telling me right. Because some things may seem strange, huh, sometimes. And so it says that it was cut down. It didn't say if Moses cut it. It didn't say, you know, probably, I mean, Moses was of age. So I'm sure they had some young bucks there that could come and cut that thing down. You know, they didn't have chainsaws, but they had something to cut it with, an axe or something. They cut it down, and it fell into the water. And it made the water sweet to drink, good to drink. And we know this, that tree represented what? The cross of Calvary. Everything, God can make something that's bitter and not good sweet unto him as we keep our faith and our trust in him. Always, no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. The bitterness of life. Jelaine and I had the privilege of going to pray with Caitlin. And right before we would get with me, look, got to the hospital. We don't know where we're going. We find a place to park in the tower. We don't know how to get down. And all of a sudden, there's somebody that drives up, and I didn't know who that was. I didn't notice. And all of a sudden, she knew us. Oh, she said, oh, man. And then we find out the situation, and she's here with somebody, whatever. And so she showed us exactly how to go down, go where we needed to go and stuff. So after we prayed with Caitlin, we went pray with that family. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That young person tried to hang themselves. Been in there a long time, weeks, 5 weeks I think it is. Never knew. But God knew. I mean, look, there's a lot of people. Hospital life, a lot of people. God brought it about. So we said, let's go pray with them. And, you know, and we, you know, they weren't going to let us in, but because we're pastors, they do. There's certain perks you have, I guess. Flash the card, okay. Got in there and started praying. And all of a sudden, this person started just crying, people. And the family said he has never showed any emotion. The power of God in that room. You want to know why I hate the enemy? Because I see it firsthand, what he's done to the young people, to the elderly, to the mid. In the middle, he hates us. And let me tell you this, we got to do everything we can to destroy the enemy and his power. It was destroyed at Calvary, but it has to be manifested upon the earth. God is using his people. But look, the power of God came in that room. He started just boohooing and crying and just never showed any of that before. And I asked him, I said, would you like to receive the Lord? And he didn't know. I said, that's okay. I still prayed with him. Because you never know. You see, you might say, well, you know, why would God allow that? Or why would God allow the circumstance for us to pray with them? Because we don't know what's being prayed in that bed. We don't know what's being prayed in that mind. The outward is not so much what's on the inside. He calling out to God, calling. We don't know. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God touched him. Don't ever allow that spirit to ever take control of your life at all. Don't ever take your life. Don't ever do it. Okay? Don't let that happen. There's too many people that love you. You're loved by your family. You're loved by your pastors. You're loved by your children. You're loved by family and friends that you don't even know. You know, that you know, you don't see much. And the devil will try to tell you you're not worth anything. You're not loved by people. People could care less about you. That is not truth at all. That, and yet that person might be in a dark place. But I tell you what, God can raise that person out of that and do a great and mighty thing. See, that's the power of Almighty God. That's the power of Almighty God. That's the power of Almighty God. Got to take somebody almost on death row, if you want to say it that way, and raise him or her up to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. What the devil has tried to take, don't let the enemy take it from you. Look to God. Look to God. Everyone has value. Don't let the enemy tell you you're of no value upon this earth. From the youngest to the oldest are valuable to the things of God, to the kingdom of God, and to people here and around this area. You're valuable. Okay? You're valuable. You're loved by your family and by your people. Let the power of God move upon your heart and life. You may go through some dark times. It says that tree fell into that water. After they want to kill. They were going to kill Moses. I mean, Moses was on death row. I don't know how many times with these people. I mean, really. I mean, it's sad. You know, it's sad. But he was on death row with these people. One of many times. And God told him what to do. And that tree was cut down and fell into the water. And it made the water sweet. Believe God no matter what. Believe God to take control. Believe God. One of the greatest verses in the scripture, and I'm about to close, in the Word of God. Look at Mark chapter 9. And we're about to close. 17:32. Look at verse 24. When Jesus was telling the father, just believe, he needed a healing for his daughter, his child. And verse 24, it says, and straightway, or immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy mind. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. See, you might say, well, you know, God knows who we are. God wants to do many things in our hearts and in our lives. God wants to move through each and every one of you. You have people you can touch mightily by the power of God that no one else could touch. Believe. Lord, help my unbelief. I believe that you can do it. But Lord, help my unbelief. And let me tell you, what did God do? God moved and healed that child. My Lord, what a God we serve, people. Don't you think that man was going through some hardships, having a child dead, really? That's hard. Lord, help me. I believe. Help my unbelief. See, when you're honest with God, everything's cleared up. And God moves like he wants to move upon our hearts and upon our lives. John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's trying to steal relationships. He's trying to steal your money. He's trying to steal your possessions. He's trying to steal your soul. If he can have your faith sway from God, that's what he wants. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I rather the second part. But God. But God. Say, oh, everybody say, but. Oh, y'all did well. Say it again. But. But God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. God wants you to live life. Live life, people. Live life sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to have it, not just life, but have it more abundantly. God wants you to be happy. Now, we don't serve him to be happy, but he gives us a joy on the inside of us. You know, even through the bitterness of soul, even through the bitterness of time, we still can have a joy on the inside. There's something there. Joy in life. Live life to the fullest. Let God move within your heart and soul, and you will see things happen in your life that you never thought was possible. The power of Almighty God. Look at the sun, S-O-N, and keep your eyes upon him. He can take a business that's running down on the ground and not making a dollar, and he can make it flourish for him. Oh, my God, what a God we serve. That's God. Dedicate it to him. Give him everything you got and say, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. And you will see. Give him your life. That's just like, you know, we need to draw a circle. You know the old story about the Indian, the chief drew a circle finally in the end. You know, he gave everything he had, from his great horse to his staff, everything he had. And at one time, God says, just he drew a circle and he walked into it. And he said, I give God me. Because when he has you, he has everything. You are very valuable to him. Very valuable to him. God bless you. You may stand, please.